Welcome to Measures of a Man, production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Tony Trippi, a parishioner of St. Bridget of Kildare Parish in Dublin, past Grand Knight for the local Knights of Columbus Council, and a small business owner.
Hi, and I'm Matthew Sparks. I'm also a parishioner at St. Bridget. I'm a member of the Men's Spirituality Group and a principal at a local elementary school.
Measures of a Man is a show about men's spirituality and how we can support one another as brothers and provide opportunities to grow in our faith.
What we're trying to do here with Measures of a Man is give an opportunity to talk about how we support each other as spiritual men, as brothers in Christ. Our first four shows will focus on Catholic marriage and fatherhood. We've all heard in today's society that there's a marriage crisis, and we all know stories of friends and friends from church that have had struggles in their marriage and struggles with their families, and we're hoping to give all men some hope and some good discussion on how we can support our families and support our brothers in Christ and their families as well.
Here with us today to talk about the expectations that the Catholic Church has for men as husbands and fathers is Deacon Frank Anarino from St. Bridget Parish in Dublin. Deacon Frank is the director of the Diaconate for the Diocese of Columbus. In this role, he oversees the ministry life and formation of all the deacons for Bishop Campbell. He is the chaplain and director of religious education at Bishop Watterson High School and serves at St. Bridget of Kildare in Dublin. He is married to Peggy and has three adult children. Deacon Frank, would you mind leading us in an opening prayer before we get started?
Sure would. Thank you for having me. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, who in creating the human race willed that man and woman should be one, join, we pray, in a bond of inseparable love, all husbands and wives who are united in the covenant of marriage, so that as you make their love fruitful, they may become by your grace witnesses to charity and service itself. And we ask this for our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Saint Joseph, who is the patron of the universal church and of husbands and fathers, pray for us. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Deacon Frank, thank you so much for being with us. I guess I first want to start off in asking, why is marriage a sacrament? What makes it different and takes it to a higher level other than what we think of as legal marriage? Talk about the sacrament of marriage.
Well, the sacrament, as you know, before you can talk about marriage as a sacrament, you have to understand what a sacrament is. And a sacrament always has some sort of deeper truth to it. And of course, from the very beginning, we find in the scriptures that, you know, God took man and woman and told them that the two will become one flesh. And so right from the very beginning, God has taken this image of man and woman joining together in marriage. And marriage, of course, is older than religion itself. Marriage, of course, has its roots that are found in a lot of different cultures. And of course, it has itself founded in contract and families and tribes and clans and all those things. But in the book of Genesis, right from the very beginning, and of course, God makes man and woman last, you know, and it's there that, of course, he tells us to join and become one. And so right from the very beginning, God has taken this union of man and woman and raised it to the level of the sacred. And sometimes that's very difficult for us, Tony and Matt, to understand, men to understand, women to understand, because we live in a culture that sees marriage as a legal thing. They see it as part of a contract that can be torn, that can be broken. But in a sacrament, we use the image of a covenant. And a covenant, see, a contract is based on law, piece of paper. A covenant is based on love and one's word. And so in the sacrament of matrimony, you'll notice that when a couple marries one another, and it's the only sacrament that we have in which one man and one woman bestow on each other. In other words, the minister that's there, whether it's a bishop, priest, or deacon in the Catholic Church, We stand as witnesses with the church. It is the only sacrament that we have in which the man and the woman actually bestow upon each other. And so they take this love that they have, that they believe that they've, in this commitment that they have, and they raise it to the level of the sacrament. Now, believe it or not, the sacrament was not made officially a sacrament until the Council of Florence sometime in around the 1400s. At the very beginning of the church, there was a lot of discussions about marriage, but it all comes back to the fact is that God gave us this image of man and woman to be the closest thing that he has of his unconditional love for us.
So I've heard that. I've heard that it's a model for Christ and his church. That
correct.
The man takes on the role, in some sense, of Christ as the head of the domestic church.
Correct.
Within our families and within our relationships. Yeah, can you speak a little bit more to that analogy between church and marriage?
Well, you know, it's interesting because usually when we are doing the marriage ritual, and I'm working with married couples, and really I usually meet with them just before the actual ceremony itself, and I always tell them that when we process up the aisle, we have the crucifix, and then myself as the minister, and then the husband, and he stands with his parents, and then of course as the bride comes up the aisle, she comes up many times either escorted by her father, traditionally, sometimes the mother and the father both will escort the bride, but she only comes as far as where the man is standing next to his parents. And then the man freely takes her hand. There is no giving away. In other words, the man is not property and the woman is not property in marriage. And that they freely take each other and walk to the altar. Now, that's symbolic, as I said, in every sacrament, there's always a deeper truth. That's symbolic of the husband who represents Christ, and the bride, which is the reason that she wears white, represents the church. And it's the husband, Christ, who takes the bride, marries her, and bestows upon each other this unconditional love. The husband serves his wife, even to the point of dying for her. And of course, the bride responds to Christ's loving service, even to the point of, which is a hard word a lot of people don't like to hear, submission, but submitting herself to the unconditional love and service of Christ for his church. Now, that's very theological, but that's what we have. And of course, when we turn to theology, that's what we have, as opposed to what the government or the state or whatever says that marriage is a piece of paper. It's a contract, something that can be torn up.
So that's why this is a vocation.
Correct.
Just like any other vocation in the church.
Correct.
Single life, religious life, married life is a vocation that we have to live out every single day.
Right, and that we're called to it. And when we're called to this vocation, God gives us free will that no man and no woman should enter into this sacramental bond under any force or any coercion. So many times, again, when I meet with young couples who are planning on getting married, I always tell them, look, did you ever feel forced in this? You know, and they always will say, well, no. Why? Because God has given you free will to choose each other. And of course, God may call, but we may not answer. But the hope is that when we do embrace the sacrament of matrimony, we see this as one of the sacraments of vocation. There are two, as you know, marriage, matrimony, and holy orders. I'm very lucky myself because as a deacon, I am allowed to embrace both of those sacraments. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they see marriage and holy orders as being competing with one another when really they complement each other because they're both sacraments of service.
Well, and I think that's something that gives you such a unique perspective on this. You're listening to Measures of a Man, a listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Matthew Sparks, and I'm here with Tony Trippi and Deacon Frank Anurino, and we are discussing the sacrament of marriage. And I'd like to also transition into what is the men's role when it comes to fatherhood and trying to be that leader of the family, the church at home. So often men can get caught up in, you know, their daily lives, their job, but really they're, you know, we understand that, you know, the Catholic Church wants you to lead and be that father figure. How do you see the men's role in being that leader of the family?
Well, the first thing that you also have to remember is that as soon as a couple gets married, they become a family. Okay, many times we say that we wait for our children. You know, you might hear, young men and women who say, oh, we have our child now, so now we're a family. No, you became a family the moment that you left your mom and dad and your bride left her mom and dad and the two of you became one. That is what we call the domestic church. So the domestic church, of course, is the church in which we live in a household. And right from the very beginning, okay, it's important that a husband and a wife understand that the two of them make this church domestic, that they are the church. Christ said, whenever two or more people are gathered in my name, I'm there. Mm-hmm. Now, the fruits of marriage, of course, is the children. You know, unfortunately, in our society, if you only see marriage as a contract, whenever marriages break up, look what happens. The children become property. But if you see marriage as a covenant, as you see your home as the church, because you have to remember that the church is not a building. The church is the building that we go to, St. Bridget's or whatever parish you belong to, your own home is just the house of the church. And so right away, the husband and the wife have to understand their distinct roles, sometimes separate, but many times equal, and they have to complement each other. So once the children come along, well, sure, the husband becomes the father, becomes the image of God the Father. And that role of protector, one who provides, one who cares. And the only way, there is none of us ever who would not know how to love if we weren't loved or we didn't see someone love in front of our very eyes. And so the children, of course, who do they see love first and foremost? Well, the husband and wife, their mom and their dad. And that's why I always say, particularly at a baptism, is that when you want to see God and see the image of God, you must look at the husband and wife. And many times, and you've heard me say this before, that the greatest gift that a mom and dad will ever give their child is to love one another. And so usually, because I'm a man, the greatest gift that a man could ever give his children is to love their mother. And in doing that, those kids will never forget seeing that. Mm-hmm. You could teach them many things, but they will remember
that. That's what they'll remember.
And going back to Christ, I mean, he was in our Father, but he made that sacrifice for his children, for all of us through
Correct.
All time.
Correct.
The ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
He gave his life. He died on a cross in agony in order that our sins would be forgiven and that we would get these graces. We're called as fathers to be that example, to make those sacrifices, to be selfless in the relationships that we have with our spouses and our children.
Correct. And I think you say that very well, Tony, and in the sense that, you know, the father must be, you know, one who not only provides and protects, but also must be humble in his approach to the way that he raises his children, because what they'll see is someone who is not full of pride and that it's always about them. Now, of course, we grow up, many of us do. I grew up in a wonderful Italian family, and I had many role models in my life, particularly my own father, God rest him, he would be 100 years old this year if he was still alive. And I think, you know, very fondly about him. And there were many times that I struggled with my dad. And as I was growing up, because I had a very difficult time, you know, trying to understand where he was coming from, because he was a man of very few words. But the one thing that I always noticed, and I really learned quite a bit about who he was, is when I worked with him, believe it or not, because he felt very strongly about his work, and he felt very strongly about teaching us the value of what work is in our lives, and that it wasn't bad, but that it was dignified. And so my dad would go off to work every day, mm-hmm. but my mother, of course, was that domestic housekeeper. And again, you have to remember, my mother's 97 years old right now, and God love her. Enjoy them when you have them, fellas, because it's wonderful. She's a wonderful lady. But, you know, right there when she was at home, we always knew, particularly, that there was love within that family. Mm-hmm. And whether it was my dad going off to work and providing for all of us, and my mother nurturing us within the home.
Hey, you know, I also, we're both Italian. My father was sort of the strong, silent type. But there was never a doubt that what he was doing, getting his doctorate, leaving the house at 6 a.m., coming home at 6 p.m., working very, very hard, it was always to provide for us. Mm-hmm. There was never a doubt in my mind. And every once in a while, I used to tease my mom and say, well, Dad didn't play ball with me. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because he was busy. He was busy doing all those things that were going to make a better life for us, that was going to put food on the table, was going to provide for us, was going to give us the sort of upbringing that he didn't have. And thankfully, thank God, I'm allowed the opportunity to provide that for my children. Mm-hmm. But that example will never go away.
Exactly.
And although his words might not have every day said, I love you and I'm here for you and here's a hug, his actions to provide for you and to give you those opportunities of life showed that love and how much he cared for you and your family. That's great.
And many times I think, too, that we forget that we, as men, that we really don't understand it until we're either put in that experience when we become husbands and fathers, but secondly, when we have the ability to step back and take a look at, you know, our own male role models in our life. Now, my dad wasn't the only one. I had coaches. Mm-hmm. I had uncles. I had, you know, teachers that were very, very important to me. And I had friends, you know, that men need that camaraderie and they need to be able to talk about it. And they usually do that, whether it's over a game of golf or possibly playing poker at night or, you know, doing specific things that we enjoy doing, you know, and also within competition, if we balance it correctly and we don't let our pride and we don't let our egos get into it. And sometimes that's what happens, is that men allow themselves to get, you know, egocentric, self-centered. And if we, you know, don't call them out, mm-hmm. and help them put it in perspective, you know, I think that you know, men are going to have difficulty.
Deacon Frank, would you say when you look at some of the, you know, with your counseling and people you work with, is that pride, is that ego what you see to be sometimes the thing that starts that separation, really can cause problems within the marriage?
Oh, most definitely. You know, and of course, unless men are guiding other men, and particularly their sons in this area, then they're not going to know how to learn how to, as I say, balance that. Now, you have to remember that we're all on the road to holiness. Mm-hmm. And the greatest gift, I mean, really what holiness means is wholeness, is being balanced, okay, is staying level. And I think that that's real important, and I think that's a big challenge that face a lot of men today. But the hope is that they're getting guidance. That's why I think your men's spirituality group, those type of things of men praying together, being able to talk about these things together, but also not being afraid then to reflect on that and share with that with their wives. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I say that is because many times, especially with those of us that are married deacons, I try to tell a lot of married deacons that, you know, one of the greatest spiritual directors that you probably have in your life is your wife.
For sure, in
you
my
know,
case.
Is your wife. But that it's also, you have to remember that it can't be only your wife. Mm-hmm. you see, and that you do need to speak with priests, other men, go to confession, do those type of things, okay, and be able to put those things in perspective.
And we're responsible for getting each other into heaven.
Exactly.
I've heard that mentioned many, many times. I am personally responsible. I have not done my job here on earth well if I cannot stand before my Lord and say, I did everything I possibly could to get my children and my wife to be here with me to enjoy eternal life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect statement.
I know we kind of started with the differences between the sacrament of marriage and, you know, legal marriage. Can you talk to me about how where we have a responsibility to that sacrament to not only, you know, be there when things are going well or when my needs are being met, but how when a couple is struggling with that and they go through disappointment or dishonesty or infidelity or something like that, how they can reach to God to get over things like that? Have you seen couples get through those things?
Matt, those are good questions, and it's a loaded question too, because as you well know, marriage is struggling in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking for it's been redefined, as many of us know, and yet, you know, what is happening is that for many of us, I think, within this country, you know, we're seeing so many different approaches to marriage that we're getting confused. And I think the important aspect of those of us that are Catholic men who are living the sacrament is to, once again, persevere in what we believe is the truth. The truth, very simply, is that this is something that is gradually unfolding in front of us. I believe that, you know, in our marriage preparation, we have to start very early.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start first and foremost, again, with talking about marriage with our children, with those that we teach. I know you're a high school principal. Nothing says that you can't deal with that with your students. I know I deal with it all the time with my students as a high school teacher. I think, though, in marriage preparation has to be, you know, once again, well-developed, strengthened. I think one of the wonderful things that we have in marriage preparation these days are laying things on the table through programs such as Focus, Pre-Cana, Couple to Couple, and having married couples who really begin to take a ownership into protecting this sacrament and not depending on only the clergy to do that. So mm-hmm. married people have to take ownership of that, and that we can focus good marriages on these couples to show them that, hey, this will work. Many young couples, though, too, are coming. 50% of all marriages in this country are ending up in divorce. And there's a pretty good chance that the young couples that are coming to you, one of them's going to be, you know, from a divorced family. And that sometimes causes a lot of anxiousness among them, and it's difficult.
So along those lines, if you could tell our listeners, the men in particular, what one thing could they start doing today that would help strengthen their marriage? What should they start doing when they stop listening to this program, they get home and they see their spouse tonight? What should they start doing?
Well, first and foremost, my hope is that they will have a relationship with God and bring their marriage to prayer. But sometimes, again, prayer is something that has to motivate us. And God will give us the answers that we need, but we also have to be open to that. So my hope is that what men do is that they don't necessarily, you know, go down the wrong path that sometimes the media or, you know, movies or pornography or different things like that, that kind of take them down that wrong path, that they surround themselves with people that they trust, good married men that they admire, and that they also focus on that concept of what it means to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to remember that within marriage, when you take those vows, you promise that you're going to be faithful and that you're going to be with this person until one of you dies, and that you're going to be with them in the good and the bad. And sometimes that's very difficult. Okay, but to have hope, because there are people who will help you along the way.
And we just need to keep praying. Well, Deacon Frank, thank you. That was fantastic. And thank you for listening, being with us today for Measures of a Man on listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Tony Trippi. I've been joined in the studio by my co-host, Matthew Sparks. Deacon Frank, would you mind leading us in a closing prayer?
Sure. Let us pray. Almighty God, you consecrated the bond of marriage by so great a mystery that in the wedding covenant you foreshadowed the sacrament of Christ and his church. We pray especially for married couples, that what they receive in faith, they may live out in deeds. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
May the Lord bless us and keep us always. Amen.
Amen. Amen. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
And as we mentioned, we've got three more shows in this series, so please stay tuned. You can also find these shows on the archive at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. So again, for myself, Tony Trippi, and Matthew Sparks, thank you again. Thank you, Deacon Frank.
Thank you. Have a great day.